I'm Michael Lippin, and this is Voice of America's VOA China 360, a weekly podcast looking at how China influences the rest of the world and how China is influenced by the world, including America. In this edition, I'm going to focus on why Chinese state media are making a concerted effort to stop anti-American protests by Chinese ultranationalists. Those protests have popped up in more than a dozen Chinese cities in the past 2 weeks. They have included anti-U.S. rallies outside of restaurants operated by KFC, a popular American fast food chain, and Chinese consumers smashing iPhones produced by American electronics maker Apple. A Chinese man even beat up another man on a passenger train in the northeastern city of Dalian for wearing shoes made by Nike, a major American sportswear brand. Images of these anti-American acts went viral on Chinese social media sites. What triggered them? A July 12th ruling by a Netherlands-based international court that rejected Beijing's claims to sovereignty over most of the South China Sea. The tribunal's ruling came in a case brought by the Philippines, which claims part of those waters. The case did not involve the U.S., which has taken a neutral position on the sovereignty dispute. But because the Philippines and the U.S. are military allies, many Chinese nationalists angered by the South China Sea ruling are just as angry with Washington as they are with Manila. One academic who has been studying Chinese nationalism for a while is Jessica Chen Weiss, a professor of government at New York State's Cornell University. Here is what she thinks about why many Chinese feel strongly about their nation's maritime claims.
I think it's in part the result of the sort of months-long propaganda campaign that the Chinese government waged to delegitimate the recent arbitration tribunal jurisdiction over these issues, and the government's efforts through the media to really inculcate the sense of nationalist attachment to the islands and features in the South China Sea.
But now China is using its state-run media for a different purpose, to denounce the recent anti-American protests by Chinese ultranationalists. Chinese news sites have published articles saying anyone who harms public order on the streets and damages property of fellow Chinese citizens is not a true patriot. Chinese state censors even removed ultranationalist social media posts calling for war against the United States and the Philippines. Weiss believes this kind of nationalistic activity crosses a red line for Chinese leaders.
They are concerned that it will get out of control and harm the Chinese government, harm the sort of economic environment in China, and potentially provide an impetus for others in the region to escalate as well. So I think that the fact that the Chinese government has tried to dissuade activists and other Chinese from taking out their anger on the streets is so far a good sign that the Chinese government, despite its very tough rhetorical line, still would like to move forward in a relatively pragmatic fashion.
China appears to be trying to avoid a repeat of similar unrest from 2012. At the time, Beijing reacted angrily toward the Japanese government claiming ownership of a group of islands in the disputed East China Sea. Initially, Chinese authorities allowed nationalists to hold anti-Japanese street rallies across the country. But when the rallies turned violent, with some people smashing Japanese-branded cars, Chinese security forces cracked down on the protesters. Weiss says her research shows Beijing has a habit of stoking nationalism in response to perceived foreign provocation and then quashing that nationalism, a strategy she sees as risky.
When foreign actions make the Chinese government look a little bit more like a paper tiger, that sentiment can quickly turn against and turn negative against the government. We also found that in our survey. So this is really one of the dangers that nationalism poses to the regime, is that it can easily turn against the government and accuse it of being insufficiently patriotic or even hypocritical in defending the nation's interests.
I wanted to know how much longer Weiss thinks China can keep exposing itself to this risk.
That, I think, is the $64 million question. Many in China are very cynical already about the role that the government has played in allowing patriotic expression on some issues and at some times, but stamping it out and repressing it at others. It's a really tricky line that the government has been walking, and I think it's anybody's guess as to whether or not this will be effective going into the future.
What do you think about the way Beijing has been dealing with ultranationalism in Chinese society? Share your opinions with me on Twitter at @VOAChina360 and on my Facebook profile, Michael.Lippin, as well as on YouTube at youtube.com/mlippin and on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/VOA-English. I also invite you to listen to this podcast on iTunes. Just do a search for VOA China 360 and subscribe. Well, that's it from me for this time. I'll be back next week with another VOA China 360. Hope you can join me then.